Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsroom of the Rockford Register-Star, here's what's new today.
I feel like my ideas come from, I want to do different styles of art, you know, display different styles of art that people are not too used to, that people don't really see anymore. Was it painting cars or something like that? Just display something new so people can be more attracted to that. I don't know, I just try to come up with new unique ideas that, you know, Rockford has never done or that they have done in the past, but just never really successfully done it, I guess. No shade. There's no shade zone. Sorry.
I'm Scott Yates, photographer and multimedia journalist with the Rockford Register-Star. This show is where we meet the artists who make our community a more beautiful place. This week, we meet photographer Buda Barrios. Buda is an urban boudoir and street photographer. His models are more often Latinas and women of color. He's equally comfortable working with natural light outside city buildings as he is shooting in the privacy of an empty living room. One of Buda's early artistic influences was his grandmother's cooking for family meals. Later, Buda drew inspiration from his older brother's custom painting on cars. The latter influenced Buda's curation of local art shows in which he included colorful lowriders and custom motorcycles, as well as the two-dimensional artworks in the gallery. Buda's latest project was the Dia de los Muertos Art Gallery, which took over an unused floor of a Southside building on November 9th. Buda visited the Register-Star newsroom recently for this podcast. So let's drop in on our conversation now.
Now that we started recording, my voice is going out.
That's where getting close to the mic will come in handy. You can even just whisper into the mic and it will pick up here.
ASMR.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's the night hour.
This is Meet the Artist with Buda Barrios.
Sponsored by the Easy Bake Oven to the left.
And a pair of AA batteries to the right.
Yes. I see. That's a great start.
Right on. Speaking of starting, I never know how to smoothly get into the start of these things, but here we go. Buda Barrios, welcome to the Rockford Register-Star.
Glad to be here. Finally.
Finally. It's taken a couple of weeks to get you into the newsroom here for this podcast. I wanted to promo and talk ahead of time about your recent art show that you produced, Dia de los Muertos, down on the South Side. That didn't happen ahead of time, so we're here now for the recap of that, as well as to get to know you as an artist. People will know you as Buda Barrios, the photographer, the fashion photographer, and art promoter. Well, you call yourself a blessed and humble self-taught photographer from the South Side of Rockford and the owner of Be Easy Photography.
Yes, sir.
You have a killer Instagram game. We'll get to that at the end here. That'll be cool to talk about. Real quick, is Buda Barrios your government name?
Buda Barrios is not the government name. My real name, I cannot tell anybody that just for... No, just playing. My real name is Raimundo Barrios. Some of you guys have never heard of my real name. Even ex-girlfriends in the past don't even know my real name. So there you go. Now you know.
I'm just learning this right now. I threw that question out there. Yeah. I didn't know I was going to ask that until just now.
This is like the first time I ever say it on air or anything like that. So
you heard it here first, folks. Fantastic. Well, thank you for that. That's the kind of tidbit of information I love to learn while doing this Meet the Artist podcast. You're here to because you are making Rockford a more beautiful place. Mm-hmm. You are a wonderful fashion photographer, to describe your work in broad strokes, you shoot what I'm calling urban boudoir.
Yeah, yeah.
Your models are more often Latinas and women of color. Mm. Your environments are shot in natural light outside. City buildings are there. Close watchers can often recognize more than a few Rockford scenes. And you are equally comfortable shooting in the privacy of a bedroom or an empty living room. Mm-hmm. Before I put too many words in your mouth or get all art psychologist on you, tell me and us what you do.
Well, I'm a photographer. I don't like calling myself a photographer, but yeah, I guess some people can call it a photographer. I just take it as documenting interesting people. Some people know me by working with females, models and all that stuff, which is typically what I mostly do. But when I'm not doing that, I also do street photography, which is a passion of mine too, that I try to do as much as possible. But yeah, I'm that guy that you see taking pictures on South Main.
And is it just me, or are you avoiding using fancy flashes and studio lights? I know that's not something you see much in street photography, mm-hmm. but what's your reason for this?
I just feel like natural light, don't get me wrong, flashes and all that stuff is amazing. I wish I could use some stuff like that. I wish I know how to use it. But I just like shooting with my, like a 50 mil lens, you know, something that low light, that's great with low light. It's just, to me, it's more raw. It's more with, I guess, what captures like the eye, I guess, you know, it's just, I don't know, something about shooting with a 50 millimeter lens or a 35 is just amazing in natural light.
For the non-photographers out there, those are an angle of lens that most accurately or most closely mimics what the human eye sees naturally. Mm-hmm. And for me, I tend to agree with you. I love my 35 millimeter fixed lens because that is the shortest route from my imagination to real life. And it's the best tool to recreate my intentions.
You said it. That's exactly how that's how you could say it, man. That's like my favorite lens, all-time favorite lens, hands down.
Now, why don't you like calling yourself a photographer?
I don't know. I think a photographer is somebody who makes a full-time living off and, you know, being a photographer. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're shooting till, you know, nighttime or stuff like that, and you're booking gigs constantly. I don't think that's me yet. You know, I want to be a full-time photographer, but it just takes time, you know.
I think in all due respect, you might be missing or not giving yourself enough respect and not recognizing the artistry mm-hmm. of what it means to be a photographer.
Yeah. You're true. Yeah, you're right on that one.
Because there's no lack of creativity and imagination and professionalism in the images that you produce. And there are plenty of listeners out there who want to be full-time artists and full-time creators, don't have that luxury or privilege, or haven't reached that level mm-hmm. in their career yet.
One day I'll be. One day.
But they just haven't gotten there yet, but are just as equally proficient and prolific as you are, and as anybody on a full-time newspaper staff mm-hmm. like myself, who gets paid to take pictures full-time. And I should add, I just said take pictures, but I make photographs. There's a conscious effort to create an image and to accurately reflect the scene in front of me. And that I call that process making a photograph.
Making a photograph. Yeah. You make some amazing. Your work is amazing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I didn't bring you on here to blow smoke anywhere. But
I just give props when props are due, man. Like, well, I keep it real.
Well, thank you. And that's precisely why you are here. I've asked all of my Meet the Artist guests here in the newsroom because they are certainly making Rockford a more beautiful place through their artwork. You grew up in Rockford. You're a Rockford native, and in fact, on the south side of Rockford.
Yes, sir.
And you are very proud of that.
Very proud.
Duly. Did you come from an artistic family?
Not really. My dad was a baker in Mexico. You know, my mom just worked just a regular job. You know, they both came. They both moved from Texas and Mexico to Rockford. You know, so. But yeah, there was no artistic. The closest one to being an artist was my brother Mario, my older brother. He paints cars, and that was his passion. You know, that was his main thing. And then I in high school he used to draw these images, and I just thought it was just amazing. I was like, oh man, that's cool. So yeah, that's like the only I think artist we had in our family.
Are you close to your brother to this day?
Yeah, I'm always close to my brothers. You know, my brother and my sisters, no.
Is everybody still in Rockford the area?
Yeah, my sister lives in Texas, and my two older brothers live in Rockford.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
As we get into your art show productions, we will learn that automobiles and mechanics play a role in, mm-hmm. in the shows that you produce.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that seed, I'm prejudging here, but I'm guessing that seed was born with your brother and his painting of cars.
Yeah.
You saw him do that as an early age, so that's been a part of your world from the beginning.
My brother's been painting since he was 15. Guy's dope.
Right on. Another brother from a different mother is a previous guest on this show, Vic Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
What was y'all's youth like roaming the streets of Rockford?
Me and Vic Monster. Well, no. Yeah, we grew up together. He lived right down the street. So he would always come over my house or I would go over his house. But we started breakdancing at a very young age. We were, as kids, we were breakdancing, building lowrider bikes, and just being, you know, doing what kids do, just riding around Rockford and, you know, just being kids, you know, trying to find interesting stuff to do. And yeah, that was our thing just growing up as kids. And later on, we met Rick Monster and all the other guys, and we became one big family.
And that was part of the resurgence of breakdancing and the b-boy culture in Rockford.
Yeah, we were like a couple kids that came together from different crews, and we just one day we just had a big practice together, and next thing you know, We're going to Thanksgiving dinners at families' houses together because that's how we do, you know. We just became one big family.
Speaking of family, adopted and chosen and born family, what is the earliest creative memory you have from your family? And you're closing your eyes to reach down deep there.
Man, a memory of my family. But
just the earliest creative memory in your life that you can think of right now.
Just probably getting together at my grandma's house in Chicago. I think that was like the most amazing times of my life because we would always get together there every Sunday just to just hang out and eat. You know, that was our goal, just hanging out. I don't know. It was just a beautiful thing seeing my family come together.
Was grandma creative in any way?
She could create some amazing food.
Creates amazing food.
Yeah, man.
Great.
That lady can cook. God bless her.
Did she foster your, did she plant a photographic seed for you? Did she foster your early photo career at all?
Not really. I really wasn't picking up a camera or anything like that back in the days. It was just seeing like the Chicago neighborhood where she lived that just kind of always remember. It always played back in my head, and it was just like something like I know that I wanted to document later on in the future. You know?
Documentation is a big part of my world as mm-hmm. a photojournalist, and I can see a lot of the same themes in your fashion work and mm-hmm. in your street photography.
Yeah.
What is it about street photography and that documenting of a slice of life that that resonates with you?
I think, you know, street photography is like, it's important. It's something that you're capturing an image of something that's never going to happen again. You know, nobody from taking pictures of shootings after the shooting when cops saw show up till seeing stuff like that, it's never going to happen again. You know, in that particular way. So just seeing stuff that I come across from taking pictures of a homeless man. Or just taking a picture of somebody who's wearing a nice outfit is just like amazing to me. It's like it sticks out. It's raw. It's real, and it's just something that you're never gonna see again. It's always gonna be like that one chance, and it's gone.
As I was giving you a behind the scenes tour of the newspaper process here at the Rockford Register Star, we visited our photo and news morgue downstairs. Yeah. Where there are some of our earliest black and white prints from our photographers.
Amazing.
And we saw a lot of decisive moments of small moments and big moments in Rockford's history. And you, if I was reading you right, you were kind of moved when you saw those early prints.
Yeah, these black and white images that I've never seen before, but it's just the way how they're, you know, the composition is just amazing. I was just like blown away just by old Rockford and these old images, the feel of this old film work. It was just amazing to me.
I think you and I could chat and hang and just talk gear and photography all day long. And I think we can go back to some of those elements later on. But I want to bring up one of your most recent projects that really resonated in Rockford, and that's your Dia de los Muertos art gallery and show that just happened last weekend. Tell us about that and where that idea for that kind of show came from.
Dia de los Muertos, basically it's been going on since 2009. For some of you who don't know, it's been going on since 2009. My friend Mario K.O. Martinez, first curator that show at Rock Valley College. And then it went on for several years there, and then it got moved to downtown to Conveyor, and then to Gallery 2213. And then it stopped after for, I think, 2 years or a year. And then that's when I took the reins over. And, you know, I just wanted to do it different. I always wanted the show to be bigger and unique, something that Rockford never seen before. You know, it was for bringing cars into it or bringing another idea of Dia de los Muertos. I don't want people to think that this was something that you see off Coco, the movie. This is going to be a more realistic how they display it in Mexico.
And so to that point, there are a lot of beautiful cars in your shows, as well as choppers, custom motorcycles as well. As well as paintings and photographs and some vendors doing pop-up booths along the gallery space there. Tell us why that mixture of like cars and automobiles and some quote-unquote traditional 2D printed material are alive and well in your spaces.
I think like the cars came to play because in the Hispanic culture, the Chicano culture in California – lowriders was like a thing. It was like an art. It's an art form. It's the paint, the way the candy paint or the metal flake lays on a car. You know, these guys do amazing patterns with it. And I was like, man, that's an art. That's art. How come we're not displaying these cars in the art gallery? So, and I decided to bring it in. I was like, one day we brought these cars from Chicago, and they did that. They had these unique paint jobs. I was like, that's what I want. I need cars with these unique paint jobs displayed in our art gallery.
I've seen a few of those low riders and beautiful cars rolling around Rockford from time to time. Yeah. Is there a low rider scene in Rockford that I'm just not connected with?
Not really. I don't think there. Really too many cars in Rockford. You know, there has been some people who brought them from Chicago, but you know, I really want to bring that culture back. I think that was an amazing time in life.
Cool. What did you struggle most with putting on this most recent Dia de los Muertos show?
Struggle, man. I think it wasn't really a struggle. It's just everything comes at once. It was just really hectic, you know. the art needs to be hung. I think in this past weekend, there was no light in the venue. So we're like picking up lighting, clamp lighting from Menards and our good friends from, my good friend Tim from, Delicious Ink and my good friend Chris Jeebus. They let us borrow his clamp lights as many clamp lights they had. And we just securing them, running lights with extension cord throughout the building, make sure everything's just safe. It's safe.
I think it's important to note at this point that you took over an abandoned building in the south side of Rockford.
It wasn't abandoned. It's just, it's just a big room that they don't use anymore.
Okay.
And I was just like, all right, cool. We've got to run light, you know?
Okay. So that's just a small detail of what it takes to put on an amazing show. Mm-hmm. You're not only worried about curating the work that goes into the room, but also something as simple and mundane in our first world anyway, as how to illuminate the space. Yeah.
Illuminate, worry about music. Everything has to be just right.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you bring that kind of attention to detail to your photography? Or I would say, reverse that. You have an incredible attention to detail, both in color of your light in your photography and composition in your photography. Where does that attention to detail come from? And obviously you translated that into show production as well. But where does all that come from?
I guess just seeing stuff that people don't really find as beautiful. Like, you know, an abandoned building could be just as gorgeous as a regular building, a studio, all lit up. For Dia Los Muertos, it was just a room that it was just like the room needed work. There was brick showing, the plaster was falling off. But to me, that was gorgeous. It was the natural light of the room, how it was lit. And I was just like, man, this is a spot. After I seen it, I was like, this is a spot. This is where I want. You know, same thing when I'm taking a picture. I could take a picture in a nice a place that has flowers, like Sinisippi Gardens. It's nice, but it's not me. You know, I want something that's going to stick out, that's going to make my image stand out from the rest of the people out there, you know. And I try to pick unique areas where normally no photographer comes and hangs out at. You know, the only reason why I know about these spots, because as kids, we were going behind abandoned buildings. We're going behind buildings and hanging out and underneath train tracks and all that stuff, and just going around different parts of Rockford where nobody ever went. And to us, it was just like, oh, this is normal. It's here. But to other people, they're like, man, you know, it's just junk. What you see as junk is gorgeous. It's, I don't know, it's more raw. It's real. It's rustic.
I think that's the beautiful part of photojournalism, mm-hmm. is recognizing and recording the inherent beauty in our everyday life.
Yeah.
That's a motto of mine that I've put on all my Facebook biographies and whatnot. Recognizing and recording the inherent beauty that's all around us.
Yeah.
And being able to bring that to our viewers, to our audience. And I think you do that incredibly well. Whether it's a gorgeous model or a gorgeous street scene,
or
an unused part of a building, you're bringing in wonderful pieces of artwork. To that effect, which pieces of work and which artists did you choose to bring into that show, and why?
A lot of the artists, some of them were repeating artists from last year because they inspired me. Like, it was like the whole 317 crew, like not the whole 317, but like Jenny Matthews and Laura. Laura, they always come up with amazing, unique ideas. You know, China Cat, amazing artwork, hands down, probably one of my top favorite artists.
She was the previous guest on this show. Yeah, I've seen that. I think she created something unique even for her style, a larger piece of work.
Yeah.
Just a huge picture. I think was probably like 2 feet by 3 feet.
I think that's the one. Yeah, I think that's the one she displayed at my show. It was just. Yeah. Super huge. I was like, this deserves its own spotlight.
Wonderful. But
this year we brought a couple new artists from Chicago. My homie Uriel Martinez and Beto Gallardo were their tattoo artists from Uprising Tattoo. And their style was just amazing. You know, and I also brought another good friend that I met at a tattoo convention, Dirty Lou, and from Ray, I forgot what tattoo shop he owns. But yeah, I brought him down, and he's basically family. And I was just like, it's bananas, man. It's, I try to bring new artists every time that way people can get a different idea of what they're used to, you know?
So as a show curator and, you've just answered my next question is, which artists are you, really excited about nowadays? And I think it's just proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
You put them in your show here and you just name dropped them.
There's
just
too many
now.
To name. Like, there's just so many artists that I can't wait for next year to put them on display to see more of their work and just have them, you know, just have them there and pick their brains off the show. You know, it just, there's like a handful of artists that I can't wait to have everybody see their artwork.
And that segues into my next question. Where do you think the future of the Rockford art scene is going?
Where? It's going everywhere. It's going to be on walls. It's going to be murals everywhere. That's how I see it. Hopefully this year we'll have more murals popping up. And, you know, the Rockford art scene grows every year. Like, every year there's like a new gallery popping up or something, new pop-ups. And it's just amazing. People are out here doing amazing work. Like, it's inspiring me to do stuff, inspiring me to create more art.
Yeah. Is that more art in the photographic realm, or are you thinking of branching out yourself into other mediums?
I want to do – I have a couple shows I want to do, but not necessarily display my artwork, but bring other artists. Like, there's a couple shows next year I want to do, preferably, like, doing all tattoo artist type of show. An all photography show, a lowrider show, you know, just, I want to do more art events, you know, plus my solo show.
Now, I'm not, trying to throw shade on any, current operations going on in the city, but it's
no shade.
This is no shade zone, all respect. To that end, it sounds like you're tapping into a different demographic mm-hmm. of art viewer and art creator. Do you feel yourself branching out and drawing from different types of people, different types of artists
yeah,
in town that may not have had the exposure previously?
Yeah, I always want to bring a new artist to come out and display artwork. But yeah, I feel like my ideas come from – I want to do different styles of art, you know, display different styles of art that people are not too used to, that people don't really see anymore. Was it taking pictures of, if it's painting cars or something like that, just display something new so people can be more attracted to that. I don't know. I just try to come up with new, unique ideas that, you know, Rockford has never done or that they have done in the past, but just never really successfully done it, I guess. No shade. There's no shade zone. You know, sorry.
Wonderful. No apologies necessary. This has been fantastic, and I'm sure this conversation is not over. Please.
No, it's not.
Please let us know as soon as you've come up with your next show idea.
It's already happening. 2020, Dia de los Muertos, Mujeres Divinas, all female show, all female artists, all female DJs. You know, it's going to happen. That's what's going to happen for sure in November next year, 2020.
We will have more, a link to more information and a mention, of more information for that little tidbit yeah. of breaking news in the show description of this podcast. So catch us online for all of those tasty links. Now, I want to wrap up our conversation with perhaps my favorite segment, and it's one that I stole from a favorite NPR host, Sam Sanders. I want to troll and scroll through your Instagram feed for a cool image whose backstory just begs to be told. Now, you can be found on Instagram at beeasyphotos89. That's B_easy_photos89. Here's a photo that has twice proven to be one of my favorites, and I'll tell you why. It's a soft black and white portrait of a gorgeous female model wearing what looks to be only a white long sleeve shirt. She's taken a knee in the middle of a shallow creek. I can tell she's in the shade, but the wilderness of trees behind her although super out of focus, is in full sunlight. I liked it when you first posted it, and then I forgot that I liked it. And when I was doing research for this show, I picked it out of the lineup yet again to ask you about it now. When you first posted, I commented, "This is a great portrait," to which you replied, "Thanks, amigo." Now, tell us what's going on in this photograph.
Man, this photo, it's taken at one of my favorite spots, like, to shoot at. It's, I don't really like to tell you, I don't like to tell people where I'm at, but it's basically a tunnel.
Kind of like a surfer. You're protective of your spots.
I've been going there since we were young. I think we've been going there since we were, like, 15. You know, going to go practice painting there. But yeah, it's one of my favorite spots I like to go to on the east side. Basically, there's a little creek running through the tunnel. It's like it's a long abandoned tunnel, and there's a creek running through it. And it just reminds me of something like, I want to say like an old Indian, like if you were to see an Indian, like an Indian lady, on the, like standing by the river, it just looks so natural. I don't know. And that's what I try to mimic with this photo. It's my good friend Teresa from Chicago. She helped me take this picture. Actually, it was our first time shooting. And ever since then, we like clicked off. Our vibe was like, yo, this girl's dope. I love her attitude. And we went from being my model to being a good friend of mine.
That vibe shows from a complete stranger like myself. I could tell there's an intimate, mutual respect between photographer and subject matter, quote unquote. Yeah, I hate using that word, but because she and that photo is so much more than just a clinical photo photographer subject relationship. And I feel like that's a vibe that is throughout all of your work.
Yeah, it's always to make, I think the first thing that I always feel like I have to do is make, not hold it as a job and not take it, oh yeah, this girl's just a model, you know. She has to be more like a friend. We got to both set that good vibe in order for them to feel comfortable, I think. You know, it's all about comfortable, because if you're not comfortable at the end of the day, you're not going to get the images you want. You know, I just feel like having that step, like becoming more friends and like making them feel more secure is always great, a great way to make good images.
It's a challenge that I face on the daily in my photojournalism work for the Register Star as well. And I don't have much formal art history education, but I do know that a photographer named Sally Mann is a precursor to this image that we're looking at here. She is a black and white portrait photographer famous for her portraits of her children going about their daily lives in the comfort and privacy of their own home. She's also, and she happens to live and work in and around Lynchburg, Virginia, not too far from my childhood home, as well. But she, captures the intimacy between photographer and subject, as well as the human connection with their environment as well, which is coming through on, in this image and a number of your other work here.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. So
that's one of my favorite pictures too. It still is. It still stands out. I was like, man, this is some fire stuff, you know.
Absolutely. Where your whole career is on fire right now, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
My guest today is Buda Barrios, art photographer, portraitist, and show producer, art show producer here. You can catch him on Instagram at BeEasyPhotos89 and at any of his art shows around town. Buda, thank you so much for coming into the Register Star.
Thank you for having me. You guys are dope. Thank you for doing this this podcast, man. They're great to meet other artists and to know their background. It's something really dope. It's amazing.
Meet the Artist is made possible through the journalism of the Rockford Register Star. The episode's theme music is called Sancho Panza Gets a Latte by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com and filmmusic.io, and is used under a Creative Commons by 4.0 license. For more from the newsroom of the Rockford Register Star, go online at rrstar.com.
Just going to run this dogs, see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.